Okay, there's a. Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I moved and asked unanimous consent we turn to second reading.
Is there objection to returning to second reading for purposes of specific amendment number one? There is objection, Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. The amendment, I think, I hope you all have it on your desk. It was passed out, copied earlier in the day, so we'd be sure to have it. Deletes section 17 and section 18 of the bill on page 9. Deletes those two sections in their entirety. Section 17 of Senate Bill 339 of this bill would allow DNR to offer salvage sales of timber that it has determined will lose economic value due to insects, disease, or fire within 2 years. Section 18 would give DNR the power to negotiate timber sales in areas where certain conditions exist or may exist within 2 years. And these conditions include high levels of unemployment or timber, which will lose its economic value due to insects, disease, or fire. Salvage timber sales, as proposed, would be exempt from existing size limits, public involvement, and reforestation provisions of state law. Consideration would only be given to the economic value of timber, while other economic values, and let me repeat that, consideration would only be given to the economic value of timber, while other economic values, such as subsistence, recreation, fish and wildlife, and other forest products, would be ignored. And I think, Mr. President, we should be very concerned about that. Many biologists, speaking further on the amendment, many biologists and forest ecologists believe that forest insect epidemics are often self-regulating and can actually improve wildlife habitat. Records indicate that bark beetle outbreaks in Alaska have occurred regularly over the past 70 years without undue effects to overall forest health. The provisions that are included in these sections would allow DNR to make decisions based on mere speculation about future forest health, employment levels, and timber values, while removing from the decision-making process the input and the involvement of local residents and the concerns of the public which owns and uses the resources. Salvage sales would also create a loophole allowing large-scale negotiated timber sales of up to 25 years to occur in areas such as on the Kenai Peninsula, all exempt from the planning process required for other timber sales. Mr. President, under current regulations, under current Title 38 regulations, DNR can complete the timber sale process in less than 2 years. Salvage sales should be unnecessary if DNR efficiently and completely competently planned sales under existing law. I think those are very compelling reasons and good reasons to support elimination of these two sections, and I would urge the body to allow us to return a second reading for a vote on the amendment.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support returning to second reading for this amendment. I have some very strong concerns about the bill as it exists. Currently, as far as I understand, DNR has the ability with emergency sales to do basically what a salvage sale would provide. However, I believe that the emergency sales even require reforestation, whereas the salvage sales do not have those provisions. I am especially concerned that on the Kenai Peninsula, we have a great deal of insect and disease trees. I would imagine that two-thirds, if not more, of the Kenai Peninsula is covered with trees that have spruce bark beetle infestation. I'm in favor of the amendment, and I am hopeful that we will, as a body, agree to return to second reading so that this amendment can be considered up or down. Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did discuss this in the resources at quite some length. I know there was a lot of discussion, but it was the feeling of the committee at that time that we wanted to leave it in because we wanted to give the department a little bit of leeway because of the language says, you know, if to serve the best interest of the state may offer the salvage sales if it will lose economic value or substantial economic value because of insects, disease, or fire if it isn't salvaged within 2 years. And I guess I'm, you know, the prior speaker says, well, you know, two-thirds of the forest is covered by insects. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if I want my forest in the interior covered with insects. I think we lose economic value, and I think we should be able to have the management tools there. The department should, so they could correct some of the things that are going on wrong in our forest. And if we have a major fire, they should be able to come in and have a sale of some of the timber that's left, so that there can be the natural reseeding that goes on there. And also it goes on that should be allowed to in areas where non-forest uses will take place. So we want to go in and we create another park, heaven forbids, but and we want to, you know, put in some park benches and stuff, would allow them to be able to go in and sell some of that land to clear it. And I don't know if we necessarily want to reforest that land where we're going to put the park bench, but I think just give some latitude to the department to make some wise resource management decisions in the area of forestry for a change.
Question before the Senate is to return to second reading for specific amendment number one. Senator Little on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of comments. I'm hopeful that we do return to second reading. If we look at what is already allowed to the Department of Natural Resources in their ability to have emergency sales, and look at the provisions contained in Senate Bill 310, which give incredible powers to the Department of Natural Resources where timber management is concerned, I think we don't need this provision for salvage sales.
Question before the Senate is, shall committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources, be returned to second reading for purposes of specific amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources, has failed to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment number one. The bill is before us in third reading on final passage. If there is no further debate, members may proceed to vote on final passage committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources, has passed the Senate by a vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays. Senator Taylor.
The effective date clause.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of the effective date clause and committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the effective date clause and committee substitute Senate Bill 339, resources, has failed to be adopted by a vote of 12 yeas to 8 nays.
I vote on committee substitute Senate Bill 339.
Senator Duncan's notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 339.
President.
Is noted. Senator Duncan.
Notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 101.
Senator Donnelly's notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 101 is noted. Madam Secretary.
CS for House Bill number 333, Resources, an act amending the Alaska Land Act to define the term state-selected land for the purpose of recognizing mining locations and giving retrospective effect to the amendment and providing for an effective date.
Question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute House Bill 333. If there's no debate, members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute House Bill 333, resources, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas to 0 nays. Senator Taylor.
Move the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 333, resources, will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Madam Secretary.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 49, State Affairs, an act relating absentee voting to electronic transmission of that absentee ballot application as to delivery of ballots to absentee ballot applicants by electronic transmission. An act in definition of the term state election for purposes of absentee voting and providing for an effective date before the Senate on reconsideration.
Question before the Senate is Senator Lehman.
Mr. President, I'd like to do so.
Senator will stand. Will Senate please come back to order? Senator Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I move that the next three bills, this bill and the next two following it on the calendar, be held in third reading for Monday's calendar.
Without objection, House Bill 49, House Bill 323, and SJR 36 will be held for Monday's calendar. Senator Duncan?
What was your motion again? Would you restate the motion?
Senator Taylor?
My motion originally stated was that 49 and the next two bills be held, and that would be Senate Committee Substitute 49, Senate Committee Substitute 323, and Senate Joint Resolution Number 36 be held in third reading for Monday's calendar.
Mr. President, that's not an acceptable motion.
They're not in third now?
No. SJR 36 not in third.
Oh, I'm sorry. But the first two be held in third reading. What is SJR 36?
Oh, it's some,
it's
I don't know, some, pardon? No, it's some reading. Constitutional amendment that's held still in second reading.
Right.
Yeah, we should hold it in second reading.
So be it.
What?
When we get to SJR,
Mr. President,
I would like it to advance from second to third reading on Monday.
Well, it can't be held, and okay.
Mr. President, let me restate the motion, please.
Senator Taylor.
I'd withdraw previous motion.
Senator Taylor.
I'd now move that Senate Bill 49
and House Bill 49.
I'm sorry, House Bill, CS for House Bill 49 and CS for Senate CS for House Bill number 323 be held in third reading for Monday's calendar.
Thank you. Now, SJR 36 is before us.
Right. Move and ask unanimous consent. SJR 36 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Yes.
I was ready.
Senator Taylor, your motion is out of order. Madam Secretary.
Stop it. Senate Joint Resolution Number 36 by Senators Kelly, Salo, Pierce, Sharp, Sharp, Jacko, and Little. Proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska requiring that candidates for governor and candidates for lieutenant governor receive more than 50% of the votes cast to be elected and changing the term of office of the governor and the lieutenant governor. City Affairs recommends a CS. The majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Lehman, Curran, Senators Miller, and Taylor. Judiciary Committee recommends a CS and reports it back as follows. Senators Taylor and Little signed due pass. Senator Dolly, no recommendation. Finance Committee recommends the Judiciary CS be adopted and do pass. Report was sent by Senators Frank and Pierce co-chair, Senators Jack O'Kelly, Reagan, and Sharp. Rules Committee considers the resolution recommends calendar. Report was sent by Senator Halford, chair, concurring Senators Little and Jacko. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Kelly?
Mr. President, we have to adopt a committee substitute.
Yes, for you, Senator Kelly.
I'd move the Senate Judiciary version be adopted.
Without objection, the Senate Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 36 is adopted under the original bill. Senator Kelly?
President, this particular constitutional amendment has such awesome implications for the state of Alaska that I'd like the body to have the weekend to think about it, and so I will not move that it be moved to third reading. So it will appear in third reading on Monday's calendar.
What? I think we should vote. See, maybe we want to advance it and vote on it, pass it out of here.
The motion's in order. Hearing no motion to advance Senate Joint Resolution 36, would the Secretary please read the next item on the calendar?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator
Mr. President,
Charles.
Too close to my senator from Eagle River here. At this time, they're with SJR, our committee substitute for SJR 36. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent at this time that my name be removed as a co-sponsor.
Senator Zaroff is moved and asking unanimous consent to be removed as a co-sponsor on SJR 36. Without objection, so ordered. Madam Secretary, would you please read the next item on the calendar?
CS for House Joint Resolution Number 50, Resources by the House Resources Committee, related to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council Comprehensive Rationalization Plan. Resources Committee recommends due pass. Report signed by Senator Miller, concurring Senators Lehman, Jarre, Pearson, Frank. Judiciary Committee recommends due pass. Report signed by Senator Taylor, chair, concurring Senators Little and Donnelly. Rules Committee recommends calendar. Report signed by Senator Halford, concurring Senators Little, Jarre, and Rigger. I have no amendments.
Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Committee substitute House Joint Resolution Number 50, Resources, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection, so ordered.
CSSGR 50 resources related to the North Pacific Fishery Management Council Comprehensive Rationalization Plan.
Senator Little.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be shown as a cross-sponsor of HJR number 50.
Without objection, Senator Little and Senator Lehman and Senator Jaroff and Senator Jacko and Senator Taylor and Senator Salo will be shown as cross-sponsors on HJR 50. Senator Rieger.
On debate. Just a question.
You insist, Senator Rieger.
Just a question to someone who is familiar with this bill. This bill is not, or this resolution is not in opposition to IFQs, but is only asking for consideration for share-based processors. Is that a fair summary of what the resolution says?
Senator Lehman?
I believe that is correct.
Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe someone who's familiar with these fisheries issues could enlighten me. Is rationalization in this context the same as rationing? I know the layperson's term for rationalization, and I could somebody just clear me up on that point, please?
Question before the Senate is final passage of House Joint Resolution 50 resources. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute House Joint Resolution 50 resources is passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas to 1 nay.
Citations. Citations honoring Pamela Cott, honoring Trajan Langdon, honoring Ron Gleason, honoring National Canine Good Citizen, honoring the American Legion, honoring Captain Max R. Miller Jr., honoring Sergeant Lyle Halstein, honoring Alaska Sweet Adelines, honoring Master Sergeant Marvin Jackson, and memoriam Sergeant Major Charles T. Phillips.
Senator Ellis.
Mr. President, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on CS for HGR number 50 resources.
Without objection, Senator Ellis's notice of reconsideration is noted on House Joint Resolution 50. Senator Little.
Can we have a brief at ease, Mr. President?
The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Taylor on the citation calendar.
Move and ask unanimous consent. Citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Taylor.
I'd call up and move the concurrence of the Senate in Senate Bill 54, which was at the bottom of our calendar.
Okay, at the bottom of the calendar was the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 54. Madam Secretary.
Conference, yes. For Senate Bill 54, enacting relating to violations of laws by juveniles to the remedies for offenses and activities committed by juveniles and to juvenile records and to incarceration of juveniles who have been charged, prosecuted, or convicted as adults and providing for an effective date.
Okay, the motion is to adopt the Conference Committee report, thus passing Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 54. If there is no debate, members may proceed to vote. Senator Adams.
In this Conference Committee report, what is the age of a juvenile that can be tried in an adult court? Has that changes have been made on the age, and what is the age of that?
Senator Taylor?
16 years.
Senator Donnelly?
Well, actually, the correct answer to that is any juvenile can be tried in adult court at this time if they fit certain criteria that the state can prove they're not amenable for reformation. But as far as what changes this makes in that, as far as an automatic waiver, the age is 16 for unclassified felonies, Class A felonies, and crimes against the person, and Class A arson above age 16 with automatic waiver for those things.
Thank you, Senator Donnelly. Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was concerned this morning, or whenever it was, with a piece of that Conference Committee report that talked about incarceration of juveniles. And what I believe I heard and read is that juveniles may be incarcerated with adults, except they may not be incarcerated with an adult who has a sexual offense conviction. Is that true? I mean, and is that something that we, in fact, want to do, to incarcerate juveniles with adults in adult prisons? Can anyone answer that?
Senator Taylor.
The interpretation is probably correct, but would not occur from the indications we have from the Division of Corrections, that they would make specific and special provisions for juveniles, especially those of 16 years, 17 years. They're not going to be incarcerated or available to the general population, and stated so on the record during the hearing.
Is that not also existing law with juveniles who are tried as adults?
Yeah. What happened is on the House side, they put in a specific provision to make absolutely certain that no juvenile would ever be placed in a single cell with any adult that had been charged with a sexual abuse crime.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of the conference committee substitute. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so conference committee substitute for Senate Bill 54 has been adopted by a vote of 12 yeas to 8 nays. Senator Taylor?
Date clause.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of the effective date on conference committee substitute, Senate Bill 54. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the effective date on conference committee substitute Senate Bill 54 has been adopted by a vote of 14 yeas to 6 nays. I think we're under unfinished business. We have a message from the House on Senate Bill 255. Madam Secretary, would you read that message again?
A message dated April 25th to Mr. President. The House has failed to receive from its amendments to CS for Senate Bill 255 State Affairs, namely CSSB 255 State Affairs MH, establishing a comprehensive policy relating to human resource development. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with a light committee from the Senate to consider the above bills. Representative Sanders, Chair. Representative Cott, Menard.
At this time, I'm going to appoint Senator Phillips, Senator Lehman, and Senator Jaroff to conference on Senate Bill 255. Is that a one-word conference? We're under unfinished business. Senator Pierce.
I bring up my reconsideration of CS for Senate Bill 166, Finance, at this time.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 166, Finance, is before us at this time.
Senate Bill number 160, excuse me. CS for Senate Bill 166, Finance, and accolade registration of a motor vehicle and suspension of a driver's license for failure to appear in court or failure to pay a fine, and to municipal parking authorities, before the Senate on reconsideration.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. If the members of the body will try to remember yesterday, Senate Bill 166 had been amended in the Finance Committee to add language about municipal parking authorities. There was a question as to whether or not that fit the single subject rule. We are told by Mr. Deardorff, indeed it does, there's no violation, but I would move and ask unanimous consent at this time to be allowed to go back to second reading for the purposes of adopting specific amendment number one, which is a clarifying amendment.
Senator Pierce, is that a title amendment totally?
Yes.
A title amendment can be offered in third reading, so the motion to return is unnecessary.
Okay. Never mind.
Senator Pierce, you may withdraw the motion and
move. Okay, I withdraw my motion to go back to second.
Without objection, that motion is withdrawn, Senator Pierce.
I would offer amendment number one.
Amendment number one has been offered. Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Without objection, so ordered. The bill is again before us in third reading on final passage. If there's no debate, members may proceed to vote on committee substitute Senate Bill 166, Finance, title amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Have All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute Senate Bill 166 Finance is passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas, 3 nays. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I would like to bring up the reconsideration of House Bill 454.
Senator Duncan has brought up the reconsideration of House Bill 454.
Hold. Yeah.
Okay. Senator Duncan, would you hold it until Monday?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. Mr. President, I'd ask, move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 454 be held until Monday's calendar.
Without objection, committee substitute House Bill 454 will be held until Monday's calendar. We also had House Bill 491 also failed the Senate, was on reconsideration. Senator Taylor?
You want that brought up or held?
Well, I think you have to bring it up to hold it.
I'll bring up the reconsideration of 491.
The reconsideration of House Bill 491 has been taken up. Senator Taylor?
Well,
do you wish to hold the reconsideration? Senator Adams?
Your call, Mr. President. If you can hold it over till Monday, we do have amendments 1 and 2 before us on this bill.
Senator Taylor, would you hold it over until Monday? We're here way too late already.
Senate Committee Substitute House Bill 491, State Affairs, be held in third reading for Monday's calendar.
Without objection, it will be held on reconsideration on Monday's calendar.
That's what I meant.
Do we have any other reconsiderations to fail? Is there any further unfinished business? Announcements? There will be a Rules Committee meeting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Bills will be posted. Senator Pierce?
Can we go back to unfinished business?
Under unfinished business, Senator Pierce.
Thank you. I'm going to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 331, which is permanent fund dividends for defaulted public assistance overpayments, be waived from the Finance Committee. It has been heard in both Senate Hess and in Judiciary and has a zero fiscal note.
Without objection, House Bill 331 will be waived from Finance referral to the next committee referral. Further announcements, Senator Rieger?
Yes, Mr. President, the Hess Committee will meet tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the Butcherfitz room.
Senator Miller?
The Senate Resources meeting will be meeting at 11 o'clock tomorrow in the Butcherfitz room.
Senator Taylor?
The Judiciary Committee will be meeting at 10:30 a.m. tomorrow.
Senator Little?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move up to introduction of guests, if possible.
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests, Senator Little.
A very special person in my life is here this evening to spend the weekend. I'd like to introduce my husband, Mr. Mark Bergener.
Okay. Under announcements, Senator Frank.
Thank you. The Conference Committee on the Budget will meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I think we'll be doing DEC, Community Regional Affairs, DOTPUF, and Revenue, if we make it through that many.
Further announcements? Special orders? Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order, Senator Little?
Mr. President, I bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 370.
Senate Bill 370 is before us in reconsideration. Senator Little?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration be held over till Monday's calendar.
Who objected? Okay. Committee Substitute Senate Bill 370 Finance is before us on reconsideration. There is a motion to hold over the reconsideration until Monday's calendar. It's the cruise ship gambling. Is there objection to holding it for Monday's calendar? Well, okay. The question before the Senate is Senator Duncan.
I got to look at the vote, see whether I need you guys to miss. Either have to call the Senate or hold it over.
The Senate is under a call. I intend to vote to hold it over. For these.
President, I'll lift the call.
Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the motion to hold over committee substitute Senate Bill 370 Finance has failed by a vote of 10 yeas to 10 nays. The bill is before us in reconsideration. Senator Adams.
I move that we hold it over till Tuesday.
The motion is in order. If there is no debate, the question is, shall committee substitute Senate Bill 370 Finance be held in reconsideration until Tuesday's calendar? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the motion to hold committee substitute Senate Bill 370 Finance until Tuesday's calendar has failed to be adopted by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays.
Mr. President, I move we rescind our action in failing to hold the bill over to Monday's calendar.
Senator Duncan, one more procedural motion will be dilatory. This one we'll deal with.
Okay.
The question is, shall we rescind our action in failing to hold the bill until Monday's calendar? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so by a vote of 11 yeas to 9 nays, we have rescinded our action in failing to hold the bill over until Monday's calendar. That brings the motion back before us to hold the bill until Monday's calendar. I was just trying to get out of here. The question is, shall we hold the bill until Monday's calendar? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So committee substitute Senate Bill 370 Finance has been held until Monday's calendar by a vote of 11 yeas to 9 nays. Senator Rieger.
Are we still under announcements?
Hopefully. We're
okay.
We're under adjournment.
Okay. I just wanted to announce that there is a sunset bill that I guess needs to pass this year. So House Bill 324 will be heard in addition in Senate House tomorrow. It's a sunset bill.
Senator Phillips, under announcement.
Yes. Mr. President, tomorrow morning, 10:30 in my office, the Conference Committee will meet on Senate Bill 255, State Policy and Human Resource Development.
Senator Taylor?
I move and ask unanimous consent this Senate stand in adjournment till 11 a.m. Monday.
Without objection, we're adjourned to 11 a.m. Monday.